rafters that were in here last week ago, there was a much more crazy than there was crafting, but they really like it, and they gave us money. Vicki and I were just calculating. There was probably over $2,000 worth of money and gifts that were given for Operation Christmas Child. And so we are just so grateful for them. Yeah, we'll remember. And the teachers told me to tell you thank you, and are coming back next year. They said it was like really amazing. No, we did some smart bomb gifts, found out exactly what would be helpful to teachers, and they were very, very grateful for the meal and the gifts, and so I thank you on their behalf. I get the credit. They come to me and say thank you, and I go, yeah, man, I really sacrificed a lot for you guys to get all this, but I take that Thanksgiving, give it where it's due. The money that you give and the things that you give are highly appreciative. I think there are a lot of people with broken souls, and there are a lot of people with very weak souls. And so I started last week, I'm going to continue for a little bit, talking about, and here's, I have a twofold thing. Number one, may your soul be strengthened. May you be strengthened with might in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit that enables you to live through. Life can just be tough. Did anybody figure that out yet? There are times that you do everything right and wrong stuff happens. You're just, they will tell me, when you're talking to them, well, everything happens for a reason, and that's one. Another one is nothing is just one person's fault. It's the other person's fault, too. And I go, well, I know a guy, and he was sitting in his house on his bed, not sitting, he was sleeping. He was sleeping in his house, in his bed at night, and a semi ran into his house. It never killed him. It never hurt him. His whole house is taken out, and the semi is at the bedroom door. He has an explosion in the middle of the night of his house. He opens it up. How would you like to wake up? He opens up a door, and there's a semi. I have a question. How in the world was that his fault? Well, he shouldn't have been living there. That's what some people would say. And I would say he almost wasn't. So there are times that life just comes like that and destroys you. There are people I know, eastern part of the state, that's where I grew up, that I have a cousin, he was just having a really good day, and then a river was in his house. What did he do? Okay, so here's the deal. It's not what happened to you. It's how will you handle what happened to you. And if you have something supernatural and strong on the inside of you, you can handle anything that happens on the outside of you, okay? And so the book of Psalms is a book on how to strengthen your soul, okay? It's a soul-strengthening manual. Last week I looked at, and I believe that forgiveness is the number one activity that will take weight off of your soul, your inner man. Coming to the Lord, asking him for forgiveness, the Bible says he will lift your sin off of you. Anybody, I thought maybe somebody would have experienced that when I had an amen. I had three kind of nods. It's been so long since you sinned that you forgot what it was like, right? Now, do you know what I'm talking about? When there is literally a weight, it feels like it's on your gut or in your chest, you realize God has forgiven you and that weight is taken off, right? The flip side of the coin is when I forgive other people, it stops me from eating poison. One person long ago said it like this. Is walking with unforgiveness is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. Right? I met somebody that didn't like me really well in the grocery store. Anybody ever had that experience? If you're not a pastor, so you don't know. A pastor doesn't have to do anything for people not to like them. They just wake up one day and go, I got anti-pastor like today, right? And you walk in and you just see people that used to run you down are now avoiding you and all that kind of thing. And you see, and I thought about it, that person started having anxiety in their belly just when they saw me. Right, I wasn't thinking about them. I promise you, maybe I should have been. If I'd have been a good pastor, I would have been. But you're not that other person in thinking about you at all. When you see them, you hear their name, you hear their voice. Something goes off on the inside of you. It is very good to stop giving people you don't even like free rent inside your mind. Right? Hate is too powerful emotion to spend on somebody you don't like, right? And here's what happens. When God gives me grace because he's forgiven me, I had a kid that said to his mom, he had just messed up everything, right? A kid always explodes right before you go to church. Has anybody ever noticed that? And he just exploded in both directions and he had food everywhere and other stuff and it was all a mess. And his mom was agitated and he goes, Mom, do you forgive me? What can you say? But then she had taught him the Lord's Prayer. So it was like, if you don't forgive me, God won't forgive you. Oh, the manipulative power of a child. Right? But the for real is there is a weight that is lifted off by forgiveness. A, God forgives. B, he empowers us because he's forgiven us. We can forgive other people. They're just stupid. You're looking at me really weird. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Let me tell you, everybody in the church, because you're not being a good Christian right now. I'm about to show you I'm a good Christian. Because here's what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus said. Father, forgive them. They do not know. Can I translate it to Eastern Appalachian? They just stupid. No, for real. Not stupid, ignorant. Every person that is unforgiving is ignorant of three things. Number one, they are ignorant of God. Anybody that is aggressive and crazy toward another person is ignorant toward God, right? Secondly, they are ignorant toward the person they are doing it to. They don't know who that person is. They don't know the full ramifications. They don't know the circumstances. Is that not true? And number three, they don't know who they are. If I'm a Christian living in relationship with Jesus, holding on to an offense that is keeping me from living in the fullness of God, it's because I don't know something. Watch Jesus. He's hanging on the cross, dying for humanity. He speaks over us, Father, forgive them. They do not know. Right? And now, he forgives me. When he forgives me, he gives me this superpower to not hold it against the other person. That will lift weight off my soul when I learn how to do that. Does that make some manner of sense? Did I redeem saying people are stupid? I'm sorry, Jesus. Every person that was offended by that, we know who they are. No. Okay. Yeah, here's a second one. Let me get out of this one. I'll never guess it. Here's a second thing. Forgiveness frees your soul. Okay? Worship energizes your soul. The unforgiveness will keep the worship from having the energizing effect. Does that make some manner of sense? You were created for worship. The most energizing thing that a human being can do is worship God. The gateway to worship is thanksgiving. Okay? We enter his, we sang it. Melissa sang it for you today. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Thanksgiving is the protocol for coming into the presence of God. Thanksgiving is a doorway that opens more. Thanksgiving is a doorway to more relationship and more revelation of God. Okay? I want to talk about Thanksgiving today. The passage I'm going to go to in a few minutes is Psalm 136, if you want to find that, or we'll put it on the big Bible here. David is going to give you a masterclass of thanksgiving in the book of Psalms, okay? And I want to take the book of Psalms to the neuroscientist today. I'm going to take Psalms to the neurologist. And then I'm going to take Psalms to the psychologist. And then I'm going to take it to church. And then I'm going to take it to the gym. Okay? That'll be interesting. Because we're going to take, David wrote 1,000 years before Christ. 3,000 years ago, David wrote the Psalms. What I want to do is show you that what David was writing about 3,000 years ago has been reinforced by neuroscience today. Neuroscientists today say, oh, by the way, David was right. I thought I'd get an amen. Could you just give me an A? That's interesting. Amen. Okay, no. I'm going to take this concept. Today, they call it gratitude. Gratitude's different. When we get it to church, I'll tell you the difference between gratitude and thanksgiving. But we're going to start off at the neurologist, okay? I'm going to make sure everybody's comfortable. Is it getting a little bit warm in here? Are you guys okay? Everybody good? All right. Because you're going to be here for a minute, so I just got to make sure you're comfortable. No, I want to take it. See, we have this thing called, anybody ever heard of neurologists, brain doctors? And now what they can do, they can put probes on your head. They can tell what part of your brain is lighting up, what part isn't, what part's functioning, what part isn't functioning. And your soul being strengthened. And some of the activities I'm going to show you, we find out today. Today, here's what we find out. I don't care if you're 8 or 80. Here's what neurologists have found out. You can actually physiologically change portions of your brain even when you're an old man. I'm going to give you just a few statistics, but I studied it for a few minutes because you don't have to be smart now. All you got to do is Google. Right? And over the past 10 years, I've done a lot of study that I'm just going to mention two or three points on with you. Have you ever heard you can't be grateful and hateful at the same time? Anybody ever heard that? You cannot be grateful and grumpy. Have you ever heard that? Do you know that now neurologists are showing us that that is actually true? Right behind your eyes, you have a part of your brain, you don't have to write this down, it's called the premedial cortex, okay? It's right behind your brain. And when Molly makes me a delicious dinner, we're sitting at the table, premedial frontal cortex. And I eat that meal that Molly, right behind my brain, it starts going, it does. It starts releasing something called serotonin. You can tell she cooks well. And dopamine. You can eat a biscuit or take cocaine. It'll do the same thing. Cocaine release a little more of it. Unless you get an old Coke from Mexico, then you're doing good. Okay? Now watch. Now, this is for real. This is for real. When I look into those blue eyes and I think, I sure am grateful she made that today. It starts lighting up again. Just because I think a grateful thought, my brain responds. Guys, when I tell her, it lights up more, and we'll keep it PG for everybody in here, and I shake her hand or give her a peck on the cheek, it lights up more. Let me tell you what David said. David said, God's been good to me, and my heart rejoiced. What happened with David was his prefrontal cortex started going, when he goes, my heart rejoiced. Then what David will say is, I gave my thanks to God. Several times, about 15 times or so, he goes, I sang my praise to God, or I lifted my hand to God. That's the peck on the cheek part. It lights up more. So here, if I take the Psalms to a present-day neurologist and put nodes on the brain of the Psalms or Thanksgiving, it goes, when you thought it, it started changing the way your brain thinks when you thought praise toward God. Now, when you gave it, when you said, thank you, God, it lit up more. What? And then when you sang praise, gave money, see, an offering should light up your brain, not make you mad. I'm serious. God loves a cheerful giver. Thanksgiving, here's what neurologists will tell you today. Thanksgiving builds a platform in the brain that pushes it toward joy. Anybody ever tried to go on a trip with two kids in the back car seat at the same time? And they will go, A, are we there yet? B, in our house, we can use this one. Micah's touching me. Because if it was my family, it was Seth saying it. If it was her family, it was Claire saying it. Somebody's touching me. And then touching becomes pushing. That begins my dad. Here's the way my dad would do it. My dad would slam on the brakes. All the kids would come forward. He'd grab the one he want, hit the gas, spank that one a little while, and just let them go. Okay. You want me to pull this car over? My dad didn't have time to pull a car over. He'd just send you to him. Watch. You know what that is? That's a push. Whenever I go, thank you, Jesus, inside of my head, it is pressing my brain toward joy. Yeah, but I got a really bad circumstance going on right now. Anybody ever heard of a reticular activation system? Reticular activation system, it was goes on in your brain that causes you to see and to hear. You look with your eyes, you see with your brain. I scan this crowd, that's me looking with my eyes. My reticular activation system is telling me what to look for. Everybody in this room has a reticular activation system that's developed by experiences that when you look in this room, you see different things. Because you look with your eyes, you see with your brain. I live by a railroad track. I used to invite people over. How'd you sleep last night? Not at all. Why not? Well, that train came through at 3:00. I said, what train? Because my reticular activation system had trained me not to hear the train, because the train was not a threat. That person that I had invited over that did not live by a railroad track, their brain had not been trained like that. That's what they heard. I bought a Chevy Colorado truck a few months ago. I didn't even know Chevy made a truck called Colorado. I did not. I promise you, I did not. I'm not a car guy. Don't care about it. Drive one till they die, pick up the next one and go. That's the way I live. I did not keep, let Larry keep it alive as long as he can. When Larry can't keep it alive anymore, we just go get another one. And now, guess what I see every day? Colorado trucks, black trucks, Colorado trucks. When I'm driving down the road, my son saw my truck, like my truck. He got a Colorado truck. The only thing I can see on the road is Colorado truck, because I'm looking for my son or I'm looking for my wife driving my truck. She can't be driving my truck. I'm in my truck. Reticular activation system causes you to see. Now listen. Or not see. It does. It discerns it. When I get up in the morning, I'm just taking David to the neurologist for a moment. When I get up in the morning and I go, this is the day the Lord has made. I do it every morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. What I'm doing is telling my reticular activation system that's inside my brain, today you look for ways that God has made this day good. If I don't do that, guess what my old reticular activation system will do? Come on, somebody. It will show me every way God is not good, not doing anything. When I see a circumstance, I'm going to see what the devil's doing. I'm going to see what's bad. But if over time, with the Bible, with the book of Psalms, I have trained my brain to see what God is doing, all of a sudden, my grateful is pushing my life toward delight in God. Isn't that interesting? You can't be grateful and grumpy at the same time, but I can switch thoughts quick. Because, and it's the only way it happens, is I have something in my head called an amygdala. The amygdala, people call the lizard brain. Have you ever heard of fight, flight, or freeze? That's your amygdala. I had a fight, flight, or freeze at the Kroger yesterday. When was it? Friday. I'm looking at them cheap meats that are over in the corner because that's the only kind I buy if they got something cheap on sale. And some old guy just wanted to fight or something. I don't know what's wrong with him. He walked right up on me to where his breath was on the back of my neck. And I'm going, a couple of years ago, there would have been a reticular activation response that there would have been cleanup in aisle here. And all of a sudden, I wanted to fight. So what I did was flight. I don't care about this meat. I'll care about me staying out of jail. And my brain, it didn't ask me a question. It acted. Molly goes, what's wrong with you? And I go, this is what's right with me. Pre-Jesus, this will be different. It didn't think, it acted. Watch. If I am being grateful, grumpy can't act. The only thing that turns that baby down is when this goes off. Watch David, warrior king. And what he goes is, I give God thanks. When he's giving God thanks, if we were to go to the neurologist, we will find that that fiery, angry, anxiety part goes down. I'm going to read to you Psalm 119. I'm just going to quote it. David had never studied neurology. Here's what he knew. He ran a country, he was a warrior, he was betrayed by his own father-in-law and his own sons. His own inner circle, parts of them turned against him. He is on alert all the time. People are trying to kill him while he's trying to build a kingdom. He's got all of this on. And David goes, and in the middle of the night, I will awaken. Anybody ever had the 3 a.m. wake-up call? What happens? What happens? You get anxious. Your brain, come on, your brain won't shut up. Can you go back to sleep? When do you get back to sleep? Next Wednesday. No, I'm for real. I am for real. I'll hit it in a minute, okay? Here's what David said in Psalm 119. Here's what he goes. In the middle of the night, I will give you thanks. He didn't know about serotonin. He didn't know about what's that stuff that you give me that starts with an M that I take at night so I can go to sleep. Yeah, I knew you guys knew. I really knew what it was. I just wanted to hear you say it. Huh? He didn't know about that. Here's what he knew about. When all of the angst of the world wakes me up in the middle of the night, if I start thanking God, the fight, flight, freeze calms down and the delight turns up. He couldn't go get a sleeping pill, so he just gave God thankful. When he gave God thankful in the middle of the night, it caused his brain to calm down. Isn't that amazing? Let's leave the neurologist. I'd love to stay at the neurologist with the book of Psalms for about a month, but we're going to leave the neurologist, that guy, the neurologist. And now we're going to go to psychologist. Here's what psychologists say. I have a thing that has 20, and I'm just going to mention five. People that are grateful. This has been greatly studied over the last 10 years. People that are grateful, I'm going to give you five benefits of just being grateful. One is they are more mentally healthy, not hateful, healthy. They go from hateful to healthy. You can actually take a discipline study, and you could Google, find it out, is people that are hateful go on a 30 days of being grateful and consciously doing it two or three times a day, writing down grateful list every day. You write it down in the morning, you go over it in the afternoon, you go over it in the evening, you do that for 30 days. And here's what they found. Their mental health is affected by grateful. And I go, that's interesting, because in Psalm 55, 17, David said, at night, in the morning, and at noonday, I make my cry to God, and he hears me. Huh? David hadn't read their studies, but their studies are confirming what he said, that the grateful will calm down the anxiety, the depression. And what they have found is people that are grateful are more mentally healthy. Number two, they are more physically healthy. People that are grateful, they have a practice of gratitude, are more physically healthy. Well, doesn't that make sense to somebody? Because if you're more mentally healthy, guess what? You're going to be more, many times, especially like digestive problems, headaches, that kind of thing, they find is linked to your psychological health. You fix the psychological health, those things fix themselves. More. Number three, they have better relationships. They have long, people that are grateful have longer relationships. They're better. They can handle conflict better. They are better teammates. They're better workmates. Would you rather be with somebody grateful or somebody that's hateful? Which one do you? Everybody else is the same way. Therefore, they have better relationships. Here's number four. They sleep better. Grateful people sleep better. America has an insomnia epidemic right now. 20% of all Americans have regular insomnia. That means one out of five people in a room like this. They don't sleep well at night. Here's what they found. Grateful people sleep better at night. And I just, I can back this up. They can back this up with studies. But I just do it to keep it interesting. Number five is grateful people make more money. Get grateful, make more money. And I go, when you look at those things, they make sense. If I'm grateful, therefore I'm more mentally healthy. Therefore, I'm a better workmate. Therefore, more people want to be around me, and they bring their money with them. And I'm helping more people instead of taking for more people, and it just makes me more productive. Okay, so we take it to the neurologist, take it to the psychologist. Now I want to take it to the Psalms. I want you to look with me. We're going to take Thanksgiving to church. We're going to go to one of David's favorite sayings. Psalm 136 is he's going to start this psalm with it. He starts five psalms with this same phrase. On this one, he says it twice. And on another one of the psalms, he says it at the beginning and he says it at the end. It's one of, David has 30 different times he mentions thanksgiving, and he uses 5 different Hebrew words. He is the master class on learning how to be grateful, thankful to God. Okay? Now, when I take gratitude to church, I take it to the Psalms, and I come to David's saying. This is owned by David. Give thanks to the Lord. Does anybody else remember it? For he is good. His mercy endures forever. This one, his steadfast love and mercy. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. And this, David wrote this, he wrote it for choirs. They were antiphonal choirs. One of them would go, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The other one would go, his mercy endures forever. Then this one would go, give thanks to the Lord. He's the Lord of lords. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to God. He's the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. You can read Psalm 136. It is an antiphonal refrain, the whole song is, with them giving thanks to God for creation, thanks to God for deliverance. You will find with David his number one reason for thanking God. There are about 20, 25 reasons David has for thanking God. His number one is, God has saved me. This is number one reason for thanking God. Anybody in the room ever been saved by God? God saved me. Jesus showed up as the God of salvation and he saved me. Right? And so I've been born again saved, but I could give you 100 circumstances in just a few minutes where I was in circumstances I could not get out of, and God, by his sovereign hand, saved me. About 10 of those, I could say, here was a time I was in trouble. I prayed a prayer. By the time the amen fell out of my mouth, the answer to the problem came. I could give you those, and many of those would be dramatic. And I can go right now, if God never does another thing in my life from now until forever, I can go, God is good. Thank you, God. Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His mercy endures forever, and he has what? Saved me. That's what David will say. Here's what I want you to know. In the world, when they look at grateful, and neurologists look at it and psychologists look at it, they say, in general, if you're just grateful to the universe, if you're just grateful that you got up today, if you're just grateful that you have a good family, if you're just grateful for your home, it will alter your life. It will make you think differently. It will adjust your reticular activation system if you're just grateful. But David does not say, be grateful. Grateful is general. David says, he doesn't use a word that means grateful. David says, be thankful. Be thankful is not generally life was good to me. Thankful is intentionally the God of the heavens has blessed me. He has put his hand on me. He has given to me. He has rescued me. It was not general. It was personal. And I was blessed personally. Therefore, I will thank God personally. Thank you, God. And I was saying it before Troy ever came, but Troy says it better than anybody ever could, because he's got that 3 E's in the middle of Jesus with his southern accent. Thank you, Jesus. I can never forget it the rest of my life. I always said, thank you, Jesus. I just never said it that well, right? And so here's what David's going to teach us. Give thanks to God for God who he is. Amen. And David's going to use words, and I'll go quickly, and I want to get to a last thing. I want us to get to the gym, okay? David uses 5 words for thank you in Hebrew. There are five different words. It translates in your English Bible, give thanks to the Lord. I was thankful. Thank you, God. It translates thanks, but in Hebrew, there are five different words. I'm going to give you those. They can help your Thanksgiving methodology in praising God. Here's number one. It is Yahdah. Y-A-D-A-H for note takers. Yahdah. Yahdah is how some people say it. I knew a little Hebrew guy. He said Yahdah. I think he knows more than other people, so I'm going to go Yahdah. That's the way you said it. Okay? What it means is to lift your hands. If you're a Baptist, it's lift your hand. Because two hands, we couldn't be Baptists anymore. I told my wife I could tell where you're from because she got the pump hand lift. Yeah, you're from Church of God at Anderson. No, I'm not. Did you grow up around Bill Gaither at all? Yes. Okay, everybody that goes to Bill Gaither concerts does that. No, I'm kidding. Yahdah means my heart is so grateful to God that I am lifting my hands, reaching out for him. Daryl, they always watch us at home, but he's got that little grandbaby of his that she crawls over to his chair and then reaches up those little hands. And she reaches them right into his wallet because when those little hands reach up like that, there's nothing Daryl has that he's not given when those hands come up. You know what she's saying? Here's what she's saying. As best I can, I'm reaching out to the one I love. David uses a word, thanksgiving. God, I'm not asking you for anything right now. What I'm doing is thanking you for what you've already given me, and I am extending my hands as I extend my heart toward you in worship in thanksgiving. That's Yahdah. There's another word, Todah. It is the word that means open hand, but it is not I'm reaching out in worship. It's that I'm reaching out in giving. And David will talk about giving the sacrifice of praise or giving offerings to God. This is a thank you. When I give 10% of my income to God, I'm not saying I'm in a deal with you. If you don't take care of me, I'm backing out of the deal. What I'm saying is I am giving to you out of the thanksgiving of what you have already given me. That's Todah. There is a thank offering in the scripture that when God blesses me, I especially, that I call that the, just right now I'm calling it, the peck on the cheek offering. Huh? Molly makes the magnificent meal. In my heart, I am thanking her, then I do it with my mouth. That's the Yahdah. Then the little handshake. That's the Todah. Okay? Yahdah, Todah. Then there's number three is Zamar. Z-A-M-A-R. And that means to sing. Z, A, O, Todah, T, O, D, A, H. Y, A, D, A, H, T, O, D, A, H, Z, A, M, A, R. To sing. My heart is grateful to God. You might just go, ow! Thank you, Jesus. I don't know. I sing a song of thanksgiving. Let me, under Zamar, there are two. The second one is highly important. We're 45 seconds to a minute from going to the gym. David said, I Zamar to God, and then David said, I gather the choir and sing with the choir. Zamar is individual thank you to God in singing. or it can be corporate thinking of God in singing. I really like it to come into a room of people that can sing well. One of the greatest experiences in my life in Seoul, Korea, in a church with 10,000 people singing with all their voice on a Sunday morning. It has more volume and weight in my spirit to know God's been good to everybody, not just me. 50,000 in a stadium in Uganda. People lift a bunch of men in a Promise Keepers event. 15,000 bass voices going, God's been good to me all over this country. Men gathered together giving thanks to God. It has a different effect than me alone in my car thanking God. Okay? I've given you one, two, three. Number four, Barak, B-A-R-A-K. It means to kneel before and thank. God, you've been so good to me. I humble my heart before you, bow before you, lift my hands and thank you. Yada, Toda, Zamar, Barak. I'm just going to use the Zamar too, individual and corporate. Is that okay? Good. Now we're going to go to the gym. Workout of the week. Wow, the workout of the week. Last week, workout of the week. In order to strengthen my soul needs repetition over time. Anybody ever went to the gym real hard? You're going to work out real hard. You go work out real hard. You're going to do it every day for a month. What happens the second day? Sore sets in. We forget to go. But what happens if you do it a little bit over a long time? How much have you lost altogether? Over 100 pounds. How long did it take? About 5 years. How many 5Ks did you do last year? 7 5Ks last year, 100 pounds gone. It did not happen overnight. Right now, she can walk. You could take her outside right now, just start her up. She can walk 5K. That would not have been five. You can walk across the parking lot 5 years ago. Been huffing a puff just to walk across. Watch this. But if you do consistently over time, what will happen, and here's what neurologists have found, the thickness in your brain at 70 and 80 years of age can change by giving God thanks every day. Do it over a period of time, and what will happen is physiologically your brain's makeup will change because one part of the brain is getting active. David never knew that stuff. What he knew was, my life is right when I give thanks to God, and it's not when I don't. And so I'd encourage you just to get us started, just to make us conscious and do it. About 1,440, something like that, minutes in a day, give God one of them. Start at the beginning of the day and go, here are three things I'm thankful for. Then about noon, when you eat lunch, go over those three things again. Then when you get ready to go to bed at night, right in between head hitting the pillow and sleep coming, is go, oh God, those three things that I was thankful for today, I'm still thankful for. What will happen is, remember last week we did just taking a minute and waiting before the Lord, 1 minute. Now I'm giving you something to fill the minute with. God, I'm thanking you. What will happen over time is my reticular activation system will be adjusted. I will see life. I will look at the same things. I will see something different because my brain is teaching my eyes to see the goodness of God and give him gratitude. Give thanks to the Lord. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let that strengthen your soul. And then I have the ability to pray for, to help, to bless other people that need their soul strengthened also. Let me give you one illustration, and Betsy and I were talking about this after church last week. I'm going to give you one illustration. I want to pray for us. And we're talking about a particular thing, and I go, well, maybe I've told you, I don't know. I was about 8 years old, I drowned. And I drowned with my uncle right beside me. And my uncle was an excellent swimmer. And I didn't understand what was happening. And he asked me, can you swim? And I told him, yeah. But I really couldn't. But I wanted to jump off that high dive that was out there. And if I couldn't swim, I couldn't get past the buoys out there. So I told him, yeah, I can swim. But about halfway between the buoy and the high dive, my lie was revealed. Because I wore out and I could not swim. And I went down. When I came back up, I reached for my uncle, and my uncle backed up. I made it up again. I reached for my uncle backed up again. My uncle is letting me die. I went down with the inability to stay up anymore. I remember things getting farther away when the lifeguard grabbed me, pulled me onto her little surfboard, and paddled me in. And what my uncle had been doing was jumping up and waving, knowing I could drown him. I don't know if you know about it, but someone lighter can drown someone bigger and stronger in the water because they will pull them down. A good man that I knew, grew up with, he was a cop in town, and he liked kids, and he let us come to our gun shop, and he was a gunsmith. He would let us come to his gun shop, and he would teach me about how guns work, take them apart and show them to me as a young child. Just a good friend. He was the local police dog guy. What's that guy called? And he had a German Shepherd. The German Shepherd's name was Butch. Butch tipped the canoe over it that Red was fishing out of. People saw it on the bank. They watched Red try to save his dog, and Butch killed that man. He died. Someone unstable will kill someone stable. But my uncle was smart. There's a lifeguard with a buoy and a surfboard that's stable. Huh. You can be strong. You see somebody else that's not strong. Your goal is not jump in and get them. Your goal is be stable and throw them a life raft. My stability comes from Christ, and the life raft they need is Christ. It's not me. What I need to do is stay strong in my soul for those around me that need strength in their soul. So I practice thanksgiving, and I get strong, and then I can help them. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these psalms. We thank you for the medicine and the strength and the health and the help that they bring us. Father, I pray for my friends that are in this room right now that are bowed before your word. I pray that you would strengthen with might in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit. We come to give you the thanksgiving that is due you. We give our thanks unto the Lord, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever and ever. May we be strengthened with might, that we can help those who need the strength of your might. We bless you. We pray for them. I pray that you would release physical, emotional, and spiritual healing into our midst, that we will be strong with the strength that comes from God. I mean, someone who came in here this day in weakness, leave in strength because they've encountered your goodness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.